When we look at some posters around in some churches or other places, or hear the lyrics of some Christian songs, it seems that when we become a Christian, everything is sorted. We all love each other, nobody says anything nasty, and we all absolutely understand each other. Everything's great. Is that right? Well, we all love each other, yes. But in families and neighbourhoods and communities, they're made up of people, and people are complicated. And so, as we look at these passages, let's just ask God's Holy Spirit to speak to us and just bring afresh some sense of Him, of who He is and all He's done for us, and what He can do in our lives if we allow Him to. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for today. We thank You for the sunshine. Thank You for the freedom that we have to meet together this morning. And we thank You for the service that's taking place at St. Anne's. And we just thank You, Lord, for all the churches around in Warrington, throughout the country and throughout the world, who are just meeting together because of Jesus, of who He is and what He has done for us. So, Lord, help us now to just focus on Your living word and to open our hearts and minds to hear what You have to say to us. In Jesus' name and for Your glory we ask. Amen. So we've looked at two letters here. Paul's letter to the Colossians was written mainly to the Gentiles. They're people who aren't Jews. And so he was explaining to them a lot about the rituals and the history of the Jews, but explaining now how, because Jesus has come, He's brought a new covenant, a new contract. And yes, there are things that we don't let go of through that God has spoken to His people throughout the whole of history, but there are things that Jesus has brought that are new and that we have to really listen and learn about. And this was very important for the communities He was speaking to, because they'd been told a whole load of stuff by the culture and the people that they lived amongst, about a whole load of different other gods and all sorts. And then there were these Jews that were talking about the one God, but were bringing out a whole load of tradition and rituals with it as well. And they were thinking, oh, heck, you know, how can I follow all this? And so Paul was trying to cut through all that and just get through to the nitty-gritty of what God wants us to know and how He wants to live with us and to live through us. So, among other subjects, Paul's emphasis is on the false teaching that a lot of them were hearing, devaluing the person and the work of Jesus Christ. A lot of the teachers were saying, yeah, He was a good man, but you know what? He wasn't actually God, or He didn't actually die, or He didn't actually, you know, live amongst us. It was just a ghost that lived amongst us. And all these false teachings that they were getting. And Paul was really trying to draw them back and saying, look, just listen. Listen to the people who have lived with Jesus, who knew Him. Paul emphasizes the supremacy of Jesus versus the emptiness of men's mere human philosophy. And then we look at Peter's letter, and this is written by the Apostle Peter, who lived with Jesus. It reflects his experiences and his encounters with the person of Jesus. And among a number of theological themes, his main theme as well, and he brings it out in every chapter, is to encourage the followers of Jesus to stand firm in their faith in the face of suffering and persecution. And the ultimate example of this is Jesus Christ. There are two statements really running through about the purpose of the cross. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Christ gave us an example all through His life. He didn't just talk the talk, He lived the talk. And He died the talk. He died for you and me. He talked about the suffering servant who was going to bring God's people back to Himself. The Jews recognized that in all the ritual and all the sacrifices that they made, because they recognized that they had done wrong before a holy God, but they recognized that it was just symbolic. They were waiting for the suffering servant that was prophesied in Isaiah, that this suffering servant was going to come and the Messiah was going to come and going to make it all right for them. They were waiting for this Messiah, and He came. but they didn't recognize him. In Philippians 2, we see how Christ took upon himself the sins and punishment, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, as I've mentioned, the Jews recognized that sacrifices were just an annual reminder of their sins. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It was just symbolic for them to acknowledge that, yes, they'd made mistakes again. But that became a ritual, and they just came, made the sacrifices, went away, and just did it all again, which we're all guilty of. But Jesus showed, and Hebrews was showing, that this going over again and again of these rituals wasn't getting them anywhere. We needed a better work. And Jesus, as Paul says and Peter says, Jesus was the supreme person, and what he did, his act, was perfect for you and for me. So it refers to it in the passage, but in Isaiah 53, the prophecy about the suffering servant. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way. And we can all recognize times in our life when we go our own way, when we think, no, I know what's best. And then we find that we've got it wrong again. But we can come to God, our Heavenly Father, and acknowledge what Jesus has done for us and say, Lord, please, through your Holy Spirit, make it hurt. Make me know that I've hurt you, and help me not to do it again. And we will do things again, but bit by bit, his Holy Spirit fills us, molds us, and enables us to face the challenges, whatever the temptations, whatever the things are that we find difficult. And he can help us to face them and to deal with them with his love and his strength. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because you see, if I went on the cross, or if you went on the cross, we're not perfect. So we can't take the place of other people. But Jesus lived a perfect life, so he was the perfect sacrifice. And even though he lived a perfect life, he was prepared to take on the consequences of the punishment of sin on himself. So that when we come to God and say sorry, God doesn't see us, but sees us through the goodness of Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we have hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So here he's referring to circumcision. Because like I mentioned earlier, some of the teachers were saying to the new Christians, oh, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to go through the rituals and the traditions that we've gone through to be a proper Christian, to be a proper follower of Jesus. And Paul was saying, no. Peter was saying, no. You've got to realise that it's not what we do. We can't earn righteousness. It's all that Jesus has done, so that we can't boast. So Gregor and I can't boast, oh, we've been to theological college, and I've got this white collar. That makes me special. No. It's just only faith in what Jesus has done for us that gives us access to our holy Heavenly Father. So I just want to look again, as we've said, in our Lent time at the moment. We're in the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we're approaching the time of Easter when we recognise, we remember what Jesus has done for us. And in the time of Lent, we consider, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What are the things that I have to let go of that are damaging me, that are building a barrier between me and Holy God? We can think about these things. And so as we look in the Colossians chapter, if you want to turn to it again, if you've lost your page, it's Colossians chapter 2, page 1183. Have I got the right passage? Let me just check. Sorry. Colossians chapter 3, I beg your pardon, chapter 12. Colossians chapter 3, it's page 1184. And we looked at verses 12 to 17. So it just, hang on, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, have I got the right thing? Oh yes, here we are. Therefore, as God's chosen people, so it's not that we have met the right criteria in order that we deserve to be in God's presence, but God has chosen us. God loves us, and he wants to draw us to himself. So, his chosen people, dearly loved, clothe yourself, and then he gives us a whole list. And I thought, if I was just going to read through this list, we'd go, yeah, 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 yeah. And we might tick some off, and we might cross some off, but then we might walk out this door and forget that list. And so I've asked Alison to be my glamorous assistant, and I've just got some visual aids for us to remember this list. So it talks about clothe yourself with compassion. Where's my list? So I was thinking, how can I talk about compassion? And I was thinking, it's not looking through rose-coloured glasses, but it's looking through glasses so that God's vision, so that when we look at someone, we're seeing them through God's eyes. So we're not condescending, we're not patronising, and we're not, just, oh, yeah, 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 all right. I've done that. I went through that last year, you know. That sort of attitude. But we look with genuine love and compassion. So we've got our glasses of compassion. And what's the next one? Clothe ourselves with kindness. We can sometimes go to a shop like a bull, you know, bull in a china shop, and we can be very hard with our elbows and our hands, either pointing at people or, you know, just saying, oh, I'm quite good, actually, you know. And so I thought, if we had some nice soft gloves on, to remember to be kind when we're dealing with people, and also when we're dealing with ourselves, to not keep beating ourselves up either. It's very important. Kindness and patience. So what I was thinking about patience, I was really racking my brains about this one, and I was thinking, when we plant seeds, we've got to be patient to wait for them. We don't know what's going to happen. We plant them and we care for them, nurture them, but we don't know what's going to happen. So it's like with seeds, we've got to be patient. And we've got to be patient about the work of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Don't quite know where he's going to lead us. We don't know what sort of things we're going to face. But we know that he will nurture us. He'll care for us. And we'll produce something beautiful, just like seeds can produce something beautiful. And humility, am I doing it in the right order? What's next? Kindness, oh, I haven't done it in the right order. Kindness, humility. Humility, right. I was thinking, to be humble, we serve one another. Mm-hmm. So it just gives the idea of when you put the apron on, you're ready to serve in whatever form. So that's the apron is for the serving, and gentleness. Again, I mentioned about you can be like a bull in a china shop. So I've got some lovely soft slippers.
Put them on yourself.
Got some lovely soft slippers here. So it's just to remind us to walk gently through life, to be aware of people's feelings, and just to have that gentleness with one another. And then I think that's it, isn't it? Have I covered everything? So we've got...
Quite a lot left.
I have. Oh, right, yes, I know. So we've got compassion, the glasses of compassion, the gloves of kindness, and the apron of humility to serve, and the shoes of gentleness, and the seas for patience. And then we have to bear with one another. So even when we're trying to serve people, we can still get it wrong. Even when we're trying to be compassionate, we can sometimes just get it wrong. So we've got to bear with one another, be patient with one another, you know, and just appreciate that we all get it wrong, but we need to bear with one another. Forgive one another. So I've got the mirror, because when we're criticising someone else, we need to look in the mirror to remember what we're doing. So we have to constantly think of looking in the mirror and thinking, hang on a minute, what am I doing, what am I saying? And of course, everything's surrounded by love. And it's not the wishy-washy, there's nothing wrong with lovely father-son love, as Gregor mentioned earlier. There's nothing wrong with romantic love. We're going to be talking about the bands of a lovely couple here getting married. Nothing wrong with romantic love and parent love, children for parents love. Fantastic. But you know what? The love that beats everything is God's love. Because it's never-ending. It withstands everything. Never gives up. And it's just perfect, perfect love. God, Heavenly Father, we may have problems in our life of difficulties with our mum and dad or with our children. And it may be very painful, but we can trust God's love because God's love is perfect. So as we think about... Thank you very much. I think she deserves a round of applause, don't you? Oh, Gren wants to take a picture. Thank you very much, Alison. And so just to close, I just want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 at page 1179 if you want to follow. I read at the first part of it earlier. Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the letters of Paul and Peter. Thank you for their desire to really speak your truth against the false teaching and to remind us of the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Saviour. We thank you for the example that Jesus gave. Thank you for the lengths that he went to die for each one of us. We thank you for this time of Lent to consider our relationship with you and with one another. Help us to clothe ourselves with each of these characteristics with the help of your Holy Spirit, that we might love one another, be gentle with one another, encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray and for your glory. Amen.